Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, and we have a very full show for you today.
Good morning, everyone. Before we dive into the headlines, we need to talk about this weather. It is a harsh reminder that spring in West Michigan is never a straight line. If you are stepping out the door right now, it is sitting at 37 degrees. But with that north-northwest wind at about 5 miles per hour, it actually feels closer to 33.
It really is a brisk start to the day. We are looking at broken clouds right now, and the temperatures are going to struggle to climb much. We will see it hit about 47 degrees by 6 p.m., and our high for the next 24 hours is actually going to be 54 degrees, right around midnight tonight.
But the real story is what happens after that midnight high. As those clouds clear out in the early hours of Thursday morning, temperatures are going to plummet. The National Weather Service is forecasting a drop down to 35 degrees by 9 a.m. tomorrow, with clear skies bringing a significant risk of frost.
That is the critical piece of information for anyone who spent this past weekend getting a head start on their gardens. If you have sensitive plants or early crops in the ground, you absolutely need to cover them up tonight, or bring them inside if they are potted. This unseasonably cool air is a classic May fakeout for our area.
Definitely keep those frost blankets handy. It is a tough break for local agriculture, too, as they navigate these late-season cold snaps. We will keep an eye on how the weekend shapes up, but for now, bundle up.
Now, turning to our top story today, we have to issue a warning that this is a deeply distressing report. We are following a very tragic and senseless situation that unfolded yesterday evening in the Roosevelt Park neighborhood.
The title of the report from Fox 17 West Michigan News is "Soccer Dispute Leads to Deadly Double Shooting in Grand Rapids," police say. This incident happened yesterday, May 5th, and it has absolutely shaken the community. According to Interim Police Chief Joseph Trigg, the events began around 6:35 p.m.
Right. It started in the most mundane, innocent way possible. A group of children were playing a casual game of soccer in the neighborhood. Police say a suspect approached the group and attempted to join the game. When the suspect was turned away, it sparked a verbal argument.
And the escalation from that verbal argument was both rapid and lethal. The suspect produced a weapon and shot a 14-year-old boy. That young teenager tragically died right there at the scene. It is just an unfathomable level of violence over a neighborhood game.
It truly is. And the tragedy compounded moments later. An adult woman who was present interjected in the argument. While the exact details of her intervention are still part of the investigation, it appears she stepped in to de-escalate or protect the kids. The suspect then shot her as well. She was rushed to a local hospital, but later died from her injuries.
Two lives lost in a matter of minutes. Following the shooting, the suspect fled the immediate area and barricaded themselves inside a nearby house. This triggered a massive, immediate response from the Grand Rapids Police Department, including the deployment of their SWAT team.
The neighborhood was effectively locked down while tactical units secured the perimeter. They were eventually able to apprehend the suspect inside that home, and that individual is currently in police custody. Interim Chief Trigg noted that the swift response helped contain the situation, but the damage to the community was already done.
The ripple effects are massive. Today, May 6th, Southwest Elementary and Middle Schools in Grand Rapids are closed. District officials made that call to give students, families, and staff time to process the trauma, especially considering that other juveniles witnessed this double homicide firsthand.
You have to think about the psychological toll on those kids. A public park or a neighborhood field is supposed to be a safe haven. When a minor social rejection, telling a stranger they can't join a soccer game, results in a teenager and an adult woman being murdered in broad daylight, it shatters that fundamental sense of security.
It certainly sparks a much larger discussion about conflict resolution and the prevalence of gun violence. How do city planners, local law enforcement, and community leaders balance the need for open, accessible recreational spaces with these very real threats to public safety? It is a delicate and urgent challenge.
And it is a challenge that Interim Chief Trigg and his department are facing head-on as they continue this investigation. We do not yet have the identity of the suspect released, nor the specific charges. But given the circumstances, the legal weight of this case will be immense.
We will be tracking this story closely as the community organizes support for the victims' families and as more details emerge from the Grand Rapids Police Department. It is undeniably a dark day for the Roosevelt Park neighborhood and the entire city.
It is a lot to take in, and our thoughts are certainly with the families affected by this senseless violence. We are going to take a moment to pivot, as we do have a few other significant updates from across the region.
That is right. Let's shift our focus to Lansing and the broader political landscape. We have a couple of quick stories regarding recent elections and key endorsements that are shaping Michigan's future.
First up, from the Detroit News, Stabenow picks a side in Michigan's Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. Outgoing Senator Debbie Stabenow has made her preference known, officially endorsing Representative Alyssa Slotkin to succeed her.
This is a major institutional nod. Stabenow announced her retirement back in January 2023, after 24 years in office, creating the first open U.S. Senate seat in Michigan since 1994. In her endorsement, she specifically highlighted Slotkin's ability to get things done, rather than just giving speeches.
That backing carried a lot of weight. Slotkin went on to win the Democratic primary in a landslide, taking roughly 76% of the vote against challenger Hill Harper. This passing of the torch moment really consolidated party support as they look toward the general election in this crucial battleground state.
And speaking of elections, WWMT has posted the unofficial May 5th election results for West Michigan State Senate. The most closely watched race was the special general election for Michigan State Senate District 35.
Democrat Chedrick Green came out on top in that race, defeating Republican Jason Tunney and Libertarian Ollie Sleds. This special election was triggered when Kristen McDonald Rivett resigned in January 2025 to take her seat in the U.S. House.
Green's victory is vital for maintaining the legislative balance in Lansing. But state politics wasn't the only thing on the ballot. Voters across West Michigan also decided on a slew of local school district bonds and municipal millage renewals.
Those hyper-local measures often fly under the radar, but they dictate everything from school facility upgrades to fire department funding. It is always a good indicator of voter appetite for local investment versus fiscal restraint.
That brings us to the end of today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. We covered some heavy and highly consequential stories today, and we appreciate you trusting us to keep you informed.
Thank you for joining us. Just one final reminder before we sign off. Do not forget about that frost warning for Thursday morning. The temperatures are going to take a sharp dive overnight, so take a minute this evening to protect those outdoor plants. Stay safe out there, look out for your neighbors, and we will be back tomorrow with more news and updates from across West Michigan.